Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. My title is Christ Dead in Vain? Galatians 2:21, which we just read. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So the other question we would ask is what? Does righteousness come by the law? I have to answer this question right now, right off the bat. No. Righteousness does not come by the law. Not before you are saved and not after you are saved. Paul's already told us this. This statement of the Apostle Paul is a statement to show us the seriousness of trying to follow the law as your way of life. And I want to give you a quote by Scott Richardson. And I don't know if any of you all knew Scott Richardson or not. But here's a quote by him. Quote, I defy anyone to find a solitary text of Scripture in the New Testament that uses the law to motivate, inspire, regulate, or even guide the believer. Believers are motivated by love, inspired by gratitude, regulated by grace, and guided by the Holy Spirit. The whole Word of God, the complete revelation of His will, is our law. Our lives are governed by love, not by fear. We walk by faith, not by legislation. We walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. End quote. When I first read this text, thinking about this message, one thing jumped out at me. In Galatians 2:19 it says, For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Dead to the law. And this just kind of stuck out at me. But let me read the Young's literal translation of this verse. I like it a little bit better. For I through law did die, that to God I might live. This makes it a little bit clearer to me. This law killed us, is what this is saying. We will look at that some more a little later. So let's answer some questions today. Does righteousness come by the law? And what did Christ do? So does righteousness come by the law? We read in verse 16 of our chapter that no flesh will be justified by the works of the law. That is, the law will not make us righteous before God. That's exactly what it says. If we are not justified by the works of the law, then what is the point of the law? There is a point to the law, but it has nothing to do with us doing the works of the law. Not for righteousness before God. But first, let me add something in here. There have been those who I've heard with my own ears when talking about Galatians, where they say that Paul the Apostle was not talking about the Ten Commandments. You know, there are some who separate out God's law in different groups, right? Ceremonial, civil, and moral is how most of them kind of separate it out. God nowhere in His Word separate His law into different categories. We are in fact told in James that if we break one point, meaning one command and even the Ten Commandments, but one point, that is any part of those ten, we break the whole law. God's law is a whole. But they said that Paul in Galatians is not including the Ten Commandments. The reason they give I'm not clear on, but The Ten Commandments were not written down other than by God on tables of stone. That's what they say. This sounds good, but it is not true at all. We go back into Exodus and read the Ten Commandments. So they were written down. But they say that the Ten Commandments have always existed. To that, I'm not going to argue with them. However, I will say about the law what God says, and especially the Ten Commandments. What are some things God has inspired to be written in His Word? Galatians 3:17 it says, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." God says His law was 430 years after the covenant made with Abraham. So who do we believe, God or man? Romans 5:20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." God tells us in His Word that the law entered. It entered where it was not before, according to what God tells us there. There are more, but I want everyone hearing my voice to know, when Paul is writing here about circumcision, he is talking about circumcision. But it's not all he is talking about. He is talking about the whole law. So with this question, does righteousness come by the law? Let's look at some other questions that will help us answer our main question. What is the purpose of the law? What is it that God tells us in His Word as to why the law came? Transgressions. Galatians 3:19. "Wherefore then serveth the law?" What was the law given for? "It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." It was added because of transgressions. Was it added so that it might cause us to stop committing those transgressions? No, it was given so that we, those whom God opens their understanding, that we might know that we have committed trespass against God. We even read in Galatians 3 that the law is our schoolmaster. But it does not remain our schoolmaster. It is there until faith comes. More on this a little later. So what else is the law for? We've already read it. That the offense might abound. In Romans 5:20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." This is saying what it said in Galatians 3:19, but in a little bit more detail, if you will. When the law comes to the child of God who has had his understanding opened by God, he then begins to see a little of how bad they are before a thrice holy God. They begin to see this: "I cannot do this." When they see that the law, this is what they see. So in doing what else is its purpose? It shuts our mouth. Romans 3:19. "Now we know that whatsoever things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped." Now I want to say this. The law shuts everybody's mouth. Some now, and some it will later. We are told that Christ will judge the world by His gospel. But there are those who in time, when God puts before them His holy law, they will be like Job. They'll put their hand over their mouth, so to speak, so that not a word will come out. Knowing that everything we say in this flesh is full of hypocrisy and lies and trespass against God. All will do this one day as the judge of all the earth judges them by His gospel. So one more thing the law is for. It kills us. Romans 7:8-9. "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence." This is Paul speaking. "For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." This does not happen for everyone. But for those whom God loves, He opens their understanding and they begin to see what the law says to them. It tells them they are condemned before God because they have already trespassed against His holy law. They see themselves as dead before God with nowhere to run. This holy law, and it is a holy law. In fact, Paul tells us in 7:12, Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. So there's nothing wrong with God's law. There is no shortcoming with His law. The shortcoming is with us. The law is weak through the flesh. What do some come to see in the law? The reason it was sent was to show me that this flesh will in no way and at any time keep the law of God. That is the Ten Commandments. This law had to be done away with, but it was not going to be done away with any of mankind born in Adam doing any of the works of the law. We've also read that we have no confidence in this flesh. But this law will be done away with in will be done away with. And I want you to read with me in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 3 if you want to follow along. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 7. I can't get a little bit on this. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, so we're clear this is the Ten Commandments, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. The law was to be voided, not by us, by Jesus Christ, who voided the law for righteousness. The law cannot give life, and therefore it cannot give righteousness. The law was never intended as a way to God. We just went through that with what the law was for. This flesh will never keep the law of God, and when it comes to the law, if it was done, will be done by the works. If you're going to do it, it's going to be done by the works of this flesh. You can read Galatians 3 verses 1 through 3 for that. Our righteousness, our life, comes from one source and from one place. That is, in light of who Jesus Christ is and what He would do. So let's look at what Christ did. Paul the Apostle says in Galatians 3:11 that it is evident that no man is justified by the law, because the just shall live by faith. Faith is their way of life. Faith is their walk. Faith is counted for their righteousness. As Walter has told us at chapel before, and you can look it up, he's correct about this word, but the word for it was accounted to him for righteousness in Galatians 3:6, that word is an inventory term. And you don't count something that's not there. So faith comes from Jesus Christ. That is a gift from God. If you have faith, and that faith points to Jesus Christ. So what does it say here that Christ did? And I want to concentrate on these two things in our text. First, He loved me. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So God's love for me is an everlasting love. He loved me before I ever knew about it. And in fact, He loved me before I even existed, other than in the mind of God. Think on this. God chose to love me. All those who are His, He chose in His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm not sure we are capable of choosing to love someone. Generally, we love those who benefit us in some way. We call it falling in love sometimes. And man is all about falling into something, isn't he? God did not fall in love with us. He chose to love us. And this was an everlasting love. But this love is not just something we read about. It's something we read about, but don't get me wrong, but this love was manifested to us, to the world, really. This he did before I was ever born. But even after I was born, he had did something for me even when I was an enemy against him. He did not love me because of what I would do for him. He loved me in spite of what I would do for him. I, in my mind, raised my fist in the face of God and said, if that is who you are, I don't want this God to reign over me. That's what I was saying. And I did actually say that. He was my God, and he is my God. He is, in fact, the God of all. But those whom he loves, he comes to in a special way that he does not for others. And he lets them know where his love is manifested. And where is that? He gave himself. So second, he gave himself for me. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ put an end to our sins. Sin is the transgression of the law. Jesus Christ put an end to that. This he did by coming down as a man. We're talking about the Creator here. He come down as a man. He had to be a man because it was man who offended God. Everything brings forth of its own kind. Jesus Christ came down and was born of a virgin and made under the law that he might redeem those who were under the law. We read of this in Galatians as well, Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ was set for the wrath of God to be poured out on him in our place. Redemption is found not in keeping the law, but in Jesus Christ taking my place where the Father poured out his wrath against his Holy Son. He made him sin. He bore our sins in his own body. He was forsaken of the Father in my place. God says he will never forsake me. I have never known and I will never know the forsaking of God because of what Jesus Christ did. The punishment due me was given to my Lord. I will never know the punishment for my sins because he took it upon himself. Jesus Christ is God. God died for me in my place. That is an astounding thing for me to think about. God, the Almighty, absolutely sovereign God who controls even the dust in the air that we see moving around us from time to time. The one who created heaven and earth and all that in them is. The one who it is said, who can say unto him, what doest thou? This one came down and me having offended him, he took my place to take on the punishment due me. He is the one offended, yet he is taking my place. I'm seeing some love there, aren't you? This is where my righteousness comes from. It is in what he did and because of who he is. He loved me and gave himself for me. God is the only one that can really put his money where his mouth is, so to speak. And I don't mean to be flippant with that either. The whole intention of the law is to show man that he will never get to God by keeping his law. This some will know in time. Those whom he loves, who he woos them in with his loving kindness, drawing them to himself. Do you want to do? Christ is done. What are you going to add to him? Jesus Christ did not get to God by keeping the law. He did keep the law every jot and tittle. But he kept the law because it was in his nature to do so. What he did is exactly what God tells us he did. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, we read, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, that curse of the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He died, but He also rose again to the Father's right hand, the Father being satisfied with Him." Now, the law is not a part of our life, because the law cannot give life, only death. We are told that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Romans 10, verses 2 through 4. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Christ is our righteousness. He is our righteousness without the law. Romans 3, 21 and 22 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ." And that is Jesus Christ's faith. I want to be specific about that. It's His faith. "Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Christ is all our perfection, all our righteousness. He is all. Kind of goes good with the song we just sung, don't it? Those who teach otherwise, those who put something else as even part of that salvation, what does Paul say about them? Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I'm going to turn over there. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed." The other gospel. That perverted gospel that Paul is talking about it specifically here, where some were saying, and I don't think they were saying Christ was not needed at all. They were just saying they have to add something in. You have to be circumcised as well. Paul specifically is talking about those who taught that you have to be circumcised. But he included any who teach that the law was in any way a part of our salvation, even the Ten Commandments. How do I know that? Well, I have to show you that with Scripture, but if you look in Galatians 6:13, you don't have to turn to it now, but 6:13, it says, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh." So if Paul is talking only about circumcision, then what he says here makes no sense, because they were circumcised, and Paul says they were. But he then adds that they do not keep the law. What law? All of it. The Ten Commandments and every command that goes along with them. What else does Paul say? Go on to say about these men who taught this? Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5. "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." We have liberty in Christ Jesus, but we are told not to use this liberty as an occasion to the flesh. "But these and those like them who teach that the law is our way of life," and I mean after we come to know Christ, after we are believers, "those who teach that the law is anything other than what God says it is for, we do not yield to them. We do not subject ourselves to that teaching. We certainly let them know this as well if they are trying to teach these things in the local assembly. Because we are no better than they. We are not strong enough in and of ourselves. So we must not subject ourselves to such teaching because it will draw us away from the simplicity, that is the singleness that is in Christ. We do not serve God by obeying His law, the Ten Commandments, because we cannot obey His law in this flesh. What we do is much more than that. We believe God and love the brethren. How? Galatians 5, verses 18 through 23. Galatians 5, 18 through 23. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We have the fruit of the Spirit. Faith to believe God and love that energizes that faith. We have joy in knowing what Christ has done. Long-suffering toward one another and ourselves. Peace with God, knowing that Christ has taken away the curse of the law from us. Gentleness toward one another, remembering the pit from whence we were digged. Goodness in proclaiming what He has done. Meekness to stand for the truth because we know God is sovereign. Temperance, knowing that we have liberty in Christ, but that we ought not use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Against these things, there is no law. If you relish the thought of living in sin, then you have none of these. Although you sin, there is shame in sin, and we cannot live in it constantly. So if you have no shame, you do not have any of these. So what are we to do? Look to Christ. Look to hearing the gospel as much as you can. Look to His Word, which speaks of Him from cover to cover. We pray God open our understanding so that we might see Christ, the one and the only way of salvation to God. Do we want to look at the law for righteousness when righteousness does not come by the law? If righteousness does not come by the law, then what comes by the works of the law? Unrighteousness, because of this flesh. That which is not righteous is unrighteous. Our keeping of the law is self-righteousness, because it is not the righteousness of God. Christ has ended the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So, is Christ dead in vain? No. He is the righteousness of God without the law. Amen. Thank you, brother.